Blog Talk Radio.
Chai Chat, Creating New Worlds at Work. Thanks for joining us this morning, or whenever it is that you do join us, listening on archive. We've got a great show for you today. My name is Victoria Vitier. I'm an Enlightened Life Coach and Business Consultant, and my co-host is Mary Rockenstein. Mary, tell everybody something about you.
Hi, Victoria. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Rockenstein. I am a certified John Maxwell speaker, trainer, coach, and I love being a leadership guru and helping people develop their leadership skills.
Cool. Well, we've got a good show for you guys. We kicked off our second season last show a couple weeks ago, just before Thanksgiving. And that show, we brought up an interesting statistic from Gallup that indicated that there is a very large percentage of lack of engagement in people out there in the work world. And what was that stat, Mary?
Oh, gosh. Victoria, 70% of the workforce in the organizations that were surveyed by Gallup, 70% of the workforce is disengaged. That's alarming, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the fact is, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this show, because we are committed to helping transform the work world. And, you know, while there's some talk about it out there, we really want to stir that up and make sure that everybody is understanding that they have a lot of power in this, and that the choices that we make every day in our lives, in our work lives, and the way we think about how we're approaching our life makes a huge difference in, you know, in the pool of life. When you drop a pebble, it makes some ripples. So everybody has to realize that they can create some really important and transformational ripples in the world of work. So we're here talking today about this stat, and we're going to segue from that into some models. We're going to look at some ways that we're approaching things that aren't really serving us, and we're kind of hypnotized into some patterns that have been there a long time. And we've called those in the title Inside Out and Be, Do, Have. And so, Mary, why don't you enlighten people a little bit here about what we're going to talk about today and how important these new patterns are.
Yeah, and I'm going to put in a little plug, too, because, this is a topic that, quite frankly, I struggled a little bit with, I think, because in the world of business, you don't think a lot about these models. You just sort of go in and you start doing, and you don't really think about, wait a minute, who am I? And I think that, I'm going to say it again, listeners, if you need a hostess gift or a coffee table book or what have you, Victoria's new book, Enlightenment Appetizers, is great. And I love the way, Victoria, that you get to this in a very simple way that's easily understood, you know, in talking about when we live life from the outside in, our starting point is doing. You know, so we do things. We do work so that we can have stuff. And presumably then we're going to be happy. And I'm going to maintain that if we look again at the engagement numbers that Gallup has presented to us, I think that model is broken. And you present a model which has been out there, which is different. It's the inside model, and the starting point for that is being. And I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that, because I think the way that you explain that is it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, and you know, Mary, in our talks in prep for the show, it's really cool because, you know, Mary brings, the whole, work and human resources world, to the table, and I bring, the sort of behavioral, health, coaching, consciousness, realm to the table. And when we mix that all up, it's really very powerful what it is that, we have to offer everybody in each show. And, I want you to take this stuff to heart, as simple as it may seem. It's not just, positive thinking or pie in the sky or, rose-colored glasses or something. This is really about making the tough choices of being courageous enough to examine your life and to look and see where it is, that you've actually gone numb I might, you know, tell you that the highest level of pain is numbness. And so when you're really hurting, you don't feel it anymore because you have so adapted to things as they are. And we call that the sad state of the status quo in our intro here on screen. And, you know, and it is a sad state when we look at these statistics. You know, you deserve to be alive and creative in the 8 hours or more, or whatever it is that you spend doing what we call work. And work shouldn't be toil and tedium. The problem is that, you know, we have been taught a model from the very beginning that we're supposed to be dutiful and that we're supposed to do what we're told, and that the key is doing it right and having the right connections and doing, you know, hard work. And the tedium of it is going to supposedly get us the stuff we want, you know, to be happy, whether that's an income or perks or, you know, yachts and Maseratis and whatever it is that, you know, the fancy people have, that's supposed to bring, you know, happiness. Well, I think you know as well as I do that there are a lot of people with a lot of stuff doing things, and they are very unhappy. Mary, personally, we've both been through this in terms of our work life and our personal life.
Yeah, and if you think about a really easy one for listeners is think about the number of people that you hear about, you know, that win the lottery. And for that moment, oh, they're euphoric, they're wonderful, their life has changed. And then within a year, they've blown through all the money and look at where they are. You know, they're back into some state of misery again, which I think, again, just supports the old model of living from the outside in instead of the inside out.
Yeah, I mean, the carrot on the stick model has been, you know, there ever since we, you know, pretty much went to preschool or the first grade. You know, we were taught how to do things and what we were supposed to do and following the rules and what a good student is and what a good little boy or girl is and all this outside-in stuff. And, you know, while, of course, there's some importance to structure and limits and boundaries to raising kids or running a school classroom, it's really important, you know, that we do not ever lose sight of who we really are, because frankly, nobody is ever going to understand that. Nobody can understand you and know you as truly as you can know yourself. The sad thing is that so often from the very beginning, we've been so socialized to do what we're supposed to do, to seek love and approval and then riches and notoriety and envy and popularity and whatever it may be in the world. And we completely lose sight of who it is that we are in the first place. And when that connect is forgotten or lost or covered up, it's very painful where the road leads from there on. So this show is going to bring consciousness to some degree into hopefully your work life, and we'll talk about that at, you know, toward the end of the show and leave you with maybe a little bit of an exercise to think about between now and next show, where we're also going to talk about some things that are going to follow from this one. So we're looking at this do, have, be continuum and realizing that somewhere it goes terribly off track. And actually, I might propose that where it goes terribly off track is where it starts, from do. What do you think, Mary?
I agree. And this, again, takes some time to, I think, reframe in your mind. But what would your life be if your starting point was B? What if you could go into whatever your job is, if you could go into work every day and your starting point was, I'm going to be my authentic self, whatever that is. You know, maybe it's happy, it's kind, it's funny, you know, whatever it may be. But I'm going to go into work every day and I'm going to be my authentic self. And I think if we can do that, then that leads to a more purposeful doing, right? Instead of being the gerbil on the wheel and I'm just doing this because I'm doing it and because I'm at work and I'm supposed to do it, I think it brings much more value into your purpose. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, who has the courage to actually show up at work? And I mean to actually show up. It takes courage to show up. It takes courage to show up in your personal relationships, in your marriage, in your family life. It takes courage to show up with your friends and actually state the truth. It takes courage to show up anywhere in your life. It takes courage to show up within yourself and even take a look at, where am I hiding? Where in the corners of my life am I pushing my real self?
You know, I've got a story. It's I don't know, 6 months ago or so, a friend of mine had called me up and said, "Hey, can we meet?" And she sounded a little desperate, so of course I was like, "Absolutely, let's get together." So we sat down, and she proceeded to tell me how miserable she was at work. Now, this is someone that had been with this particular company for 18 years, long time. And I've known this person for a long time, and they're generally very upbeat, very focused, does their job very, very well, very detail-oriented, but, you know, puts a lot of pressure on themselves to be somewhat of a perfectionist. So I'm, you know, muddling through this thinking, okay, is she in this state because she's being too much of a perfectionist? What's really going on? And she sat there with tears in her eyes and said to me, "For the first time in my life, I've been put on antidepressants." And I said, "Whoa, what are you talking about, antidepressants?" And she said, "I'm miserable. I have so much anxiety. I go to work every day, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, what the heck is causing this?" Well, she has a new supervisor, and the supervisor was, I'm going to use the word bullying. I mean, we're going to talk about that at some point in time, I think, in one of our shows, but
yes,
was a tremendous
are.
Bully, was ignoring her, was sending her snippy little messages, you know, through other people. And the rough part was not allowing her to be her authentic self, was asking her to get into the doing mode and do things that were really outside of her core competencies and really her core strengths. And so, you know, I listened to her and I said, "You know, if you want my advice is you need to get the heck out of there. Because, you know, look at you, you're on antidepressants, what's next? You know, is your blood pressure going to go through the roof? You know, your health is so much more important." And she pushed back, and it's like, "No, I'm 2 years away from 20 years, and I've always told myself I wanted to stay there and be there for 20 years. And I said, "You know, you may not make it to 20 years. I'm just saying, you know, with the state of your health right now." So I offered to help her with her resume, offered to help her in so much as I could using my contacts to find another place. And she, you know, respectfully turned me down. "Nope, I'm going to make it work." Well, don't you know, about 4 months later, I get a call saying, "You'll be really proud of me. I've given my notice. I'm done." And so we got together. And, you know, she said, "I started thinking about a lot of the things that you were saying. And it's really important to me that I can go to work every day and be this person." And that was really the disconnect. And, you know, this is a great example of someone who was not able to go into work every day and be her authentic self. She gets put on antidepressants. I mean, Victoria, that is so unhealthy. And yet, to your point, numbness, how many people do we have going to work every day that are muddling through some state of numbness that's leading to high blood pressure, leading to stress, anxiety, that has to be self-medicated?
Well, and you know, the story that you've told is all too familiar to, I bet, you know, thousands of ears that are listening to us out there, because either you've been through this yourself, which, you know,
I have,
people have, you know, that we know personally and colleagues, and more and more people are going to go through, unless we really spread this message and support one another to look, it's really time to be courageous and start looking at who you really are, what the fit is, and what it is that you're sacrificing, and be conscious about this. If you're making a self-destructive choice, at least it's important to own the fact that you're making a self-destructive choice. That's a first step in a really, really positive direction. So we're looking here at, okay, what model is going to get us out of this mess? The model that's going to get us out of this mess, and it's not like waiting until, you know, the world of work, changes out there. It's about making the choices we have to make, just like your colleague there, in our individual world of work. And I've worked for, you know, over 30 years in the field of mental health, behavioral health, coaching, and, you know, I've seen many, many people who have come to this choice point in various and sundry ways and done whatever at the choice point that they needed to do, either stay numb or, you know, capitulate until they get through their, you know, vesting period or whatever it happens to be that they're waiting for. But, you know, there are sacrifices that you have to understand that you're making if you're miserable, and that misery is a choice. You know, the model that we're really looking at here is to be courageous enough. It doesn't mean you have to run screaming from your office today, you know, but the issue is, let's take a look at what it is that's not working. We'll help you with this next show, too, because we're going to do a really neat show that's going to have another model to help you to really actualize some of what we're talking about here. But the be, do, have model, as we've talked about it, and it's out there in the literature, I've reframed it, and we were talking the other day, and I said, well, I'm going to reframe this my own way. by calling it an authenticity purpose abundance model, because when you're being authentic. When you're doing, often you're trying to fit some cookie-cutter role where you know you have to chop off parts of you to even get in there. Do is what you would look like in the new model is purpose. You would not be doing for doing's sake or to fit your job role or to make your, you know, paycheck that month. You would be doing from your authentic sense of what your purpose is, who you are, what you're really good at, what are your gifts and talents, who were you born to be, and how are you going to share that with the world? And then from that, naturally, organically, comes abundance. Now, I don't know if that's going to involve a Maserati and a yacht for anybody out there. It may, if that's what your soul truly wants for its freedom and its joy. But for most of us, abundance looks all kind of different ways. That is absolutely wonderful. That has to do with, you know, freedom and creativity and, you know, and love and service and all kinds of great things get put in this category of abundance. So the Be, Do, Have model, in its most enlightened version, I believe, looks like authenticity, purpose, and abundance. And abundance you don't have to work for. Abundance comes. In fact, you already have abundance if you're authentic and you are doing from your purpose. You already have abundance. You have the abundance of alignment. You have the abundance of the joy of being. You're already there.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
This model has its own momentum to it, but it takes a brave person to be honest and conscious and take a look at how things are going, and if they're going painfully, then please take responsibility for looking at the choices you're making to create your pain.
Yeah.
You it put some great quotes in our show notes here as we were talking about doing the show today, and you had an Einstein quote, and then you talked about a story about an interesting woman named Anne Schreiber. Can you tell the people out there the story?
I would love to. Just to segue from your end point, though, there's another quote I want to throw in because it's from a gentleman by the name of Christian Simpson, and he is one of the John Maxwell faculty member, and I love this. Life doesn't give you what you want. It gives you who you are. You know, it really gets to the heart of being. And Einstein, love this quote, education is what remains when one has forgotten everything he's learned in school. So, you know, I think honestly, and I want to go into this story here very quickly, I think people have to understand we're challenging you to look at your framework, you know, and if you have been living the do be have model, which is the traditional old leadership style framework, we're challenging you today to consider the be do have. And Victoria, when you and I were talking about this little story I'm about to embark on, I think you indicated, you know, look at this, and I want our listeners to think about this as kind of a Rorschach test. I'm interested, you know, in what your first reaction is to this. But in John Maxwell's book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, he tells a story in the law of process. The law of process as it pertains to leadership is that leadership develops daily. It doesn't develop in a day. It kind of compounds over time. So in my mastermind groups, which I use as a starting point, you know, to illustrate what, you know, leadership really is to people who maybe haven't really thought about it, we use this book. So in this chapter, he tells the story of a woman by the name of Anne Schreiber. Anne just died in 1995, not too long ago, at the age of 101. And she held a law degree back in the day, and she worked as an auditor for the IRS until 1943 when she retired. Now, if you read the book, you know, he'll indicate that Anne wasn't treated very well. She was treated quite shabbily by the IRS. Again, this was before, you know, women's rights movements and everything else. But here's the kicker. Her annual income at the time that she retired was only $3,150 a year. So what she was able to live in at that time was a tiny, as he describes it, a tiny rundown apartment somewhere in Manhattan. you know, she had a bunch of old furniture. She didn't even go out and treat herself to new furniture. She basically didn't spend any money on herself other than, you know, the basic needs. She even was known to walk to the public library once a week or twice a week to read the Wall Street Journal. She didn't even subscribe to a newspaper. But here's the clincher. When she died, she left a fortune, $22 million, to Yeshiva University in New York City. Now, this college had never heard of her. She didn't attend there. I mean, what a gift, you know, $22 million. And she basically invested every penny that she didn't spend on basic essentials. She invested it in the stock market, which, of course, compounded over time. Now, when I tell that story, Victoria, what do you think is the first reaction that I hear from most of the members of my mastermind groups?
And let's pause here for a second and ask the listeners, what are you feeling right now? What are you thinking right now? What are you projecting onto the story that we're telling about a woman named Ann Schreiber? So just take note of that. Because as Mary has told this story many, many times to her mastermind groups, what do you think most people's reactions are? Mary, tell us what they are.
Yeah, so here's the reaction. Oh, how tragic. How sad. What an awful life she lived. And literally the first time I heard this about, I fell off my chair. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, my framework is completely different. What an amazing, first of all, she lived to 101. So I don't think she was miserable. That's just me projecting because I don't know. But I'm guessing you don't live to be 101 if you're a miserable, unhappy person. I just don't think physiologically that works. But I said, you know, what are you talking about? Maybe her whole framework was, you know, she wanted to be a generous person, so she went to work every day and did the things that she needed to do to accumulate some money so that she could have a legacy that she could leave to someone someday. And I said, that's my framework. Now, again, I don't know Anne, and I don't know her family, so I may be completely off the mark, but isn't it interesting that based on the framework in which we choose to live our life, we look at this story very, very differently?
Yeah, and someone who really is coming from a do, have, be, which is a standard model, would look at this story and project, you know, a very sort of sad life. And yet, I told Mary, you know, as we look at this, really, it's not about the story because we don't know her. We didn't interview her. We don't really know how she felt about her life. But it's really about what we project onto her life when we listen to the story. And you have to understand that whatever you're projecting onto this story is what you're living. If you want to see what you're thinking and feeling, just look at your own life.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like the quote from Christian Simpson. That's my version of it. If you want to see what you're thinking and feeling, look at your own life. And so, you know, we're looking at this woman's life, and yet she could have been absolutely content, you know, with her life. And if we reframe this story, you know, 101 means that somehow or another your physical system is working way beyond the average lifespan, and so something's working right in your cells and such. You know, she didn't have much to, you know, have to buy insurance on and worry about in Manhattan because she didn't own all these little things she had to figure out where to put. She walked to the public library, which is actually pretty healthy if you walk back and forth somewhere every day, which most people don't get out of their chairs. And, you know, if you're reading the Wall Street Journal at the library instead of buying it, you've got less to recycle. So if we really look at the story and retell it in a different frame, as I just did, it starts to brighten up a little bit, doesn't it? And,
oh, it
and,
does.
And the fact here is, look at what you're telling yourself, because you're telling yourself stories all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked a little bit about serving leaders and servant leadership in our last broadcast. And, you know, this whole model really, I think, lends itself to that, too, because I think those that are still living the traditional leadership model, and believe me, they're out there. That is why the engagement is so disengaged, because we have leaders who are still starting from the do standpoint. What can I do to climb the ladder? What can I do to do things that will help me gain power, gain status, gain recognition, so I can be this great leader? And a serving leader has a very different starting point. Who am I being that's serving other people, and what am I doing that's going to add value to them and, again, serve their needs? That's very, very different from the traditional. And you know what? I feel very blessed because in my day I have worked for a couple of true serving leaders, and that was exactly their framework. And mm-hmm. and I just, you know, I speak about them often and use them as examples in some of the teaching that I do, because I really do think there are some phenomenal leaders out there. We just need more people, I think, to conduct themselves from that framework.
Well, and, you know, it takes courage to live in your authenticity. It takes courage to be, you know, the type of leader that you actually would admire in your heart of hearts. It takes a lot of courage. One of my favorite writers, you know, in the field of marketing and business and such, and blogospheres and whatever it may be out there, is, you know, Seth Godin. Seth is somebody who's extremely outspoken, and when, you know, and very concisely put when he writes. And the fact is that he, you know, is you know, here to, you know, as the saying goes, you know, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Yeah.
Seth does a whole lot of afflicting the comfortable, and you know, the issue here for us today is to, you know, if you're numb, which is, you know, not exactly comfortable, but if you're numb, you don't even know it. We would like to really kind of, you know, stimulate your consciousness in this show, because as we talked about, you know, we can't change the big picture from the big picture. You change the big picture from your personal life and how it is that you walk out into the world and what it is that you respectfully beholden to in terms of your own motto, and it's, you know, what would your motto be? And I you know, again, would invite everybody out there to say, okay, if you had a motto and it was pasted on your back, what would that motto be? What is
right,
it that you're
exactly.
living in terms of your own values? What do you believe in, and do you have the courage to live your beliefs and really show up every day? Because it does take a courageous person to do that. So we're turning this model on its head, and we're saying, you know what, if Gallup says 70% of people are disengaged, then I got news for you. Do, have, be does not work. It
right.
just doesn't work. The statistics
right.
do not prove it out. Any bit of science would tell you that's a failed experiment.
So, Victoria, how can we help our listeners in terms of maybe putting some thought into this to help them think about the framework under which they've been working and living?
Well, the first thing, you know, that I would suggest, and we're going to work with this a little bit more next day, and this is a perfect time of year to do this too, because, look, nobody's feeling the stress of doing the do, be, have more than at the holiday season, where much of the culture in here in North America, you know, is running around in a total, you know, frenzy.
Chaos.
And hypnosis, you know, retail hypnosis of the do, be, have.
Right.
You know, and we talked about that right at the beginning of the show. Look at the timing of what we're talking about here. So we're not only talking about work, showing up unconscious at work, staring out the window, and then collecting your paycheck. In my mind, you know, that's ideological fraud, because, you know, you're not really being real every day, even in terms of what it is that you're offering in exchange for your salary. But the fact is, you know, this time of year, we're doing that all over our lives. I mean, you know, good luck going shopping on Black Friday. You'll probably end up with footprints up your back. So, you know, this whole thing of acquisition and doing has gotten to a really unhealthy level. And, you know, in terms of this time of year, it's ramped up. So we want you to maybe take 10 minutes, you know, even 5 minutes, if that's all you can spare, somewhere. Turn off all the noise. Turn off your phone. Shut down your computer, sit in a quiet room, and take a look, write the words do, have, be, and then write the words be, do, have. And be honest with yourself about what life pattern are you currently living in most of your life. In particular, which pattern are you living in your world of work? And we are going to help you with these, you know, honest answers that you're coming up with on our next show, and see where we can go from here. Because
Excellent.
Honesty is the best place to
right.
start from. It's a very, very, you know, it's a very strong place of potential. So
yeah.
Mary Rockenstein, Victoria Vitier, we're out here rooting for you, and we're going to help you shift this around, because that's our service. That's what we care about. That's who we are.
Absolutely.
So Mary, Yeah, we're going to have one more show before the holiday, guys. So we got one more gift to give you before it all hits here. And some of you are celebrating your holiday already. So, you know, and honestly, it's a time of the gift of light. So this time of year, what we're really celebrating is light. And I can't think of anything lighter than the gift of enlightenment to give yourself.
Absolutely.
In your world. So we'll be doing that again next show. Have a great day, everybody. Hope you get a chance to take a listen to this on archive and share it with your friends, please. Follow the show. And we'll talk to you real soon. Right, Mary?
Have a great week, everyone.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.